I want to preach from John's Gospel chapter 21 that was read earlier. I just want to focus on that 12th verse. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. I want to talk about divine hospitality. Divine hospitality. I remember as a boy growing up in South Carolina, my grandfather was a sharecropper. I've never been hungry a day in my life, but we didn't have much. We lived in one of them old houses, and somebody I know what I'm talking about. No indoor plumbing. When it rained, every room was a kitchen. I mean, there were pots all over the place catching the water because it leaked everywhere. But on Saturday night, after my grandfather had gone all over town, all over the countryside selling tomatoes and collard greens, and all that kind of stuff, and I was a little guy, and I'd be in the back of the car riding with him. On Saturday night, when he came home, we stopped by the store and get some bologna, we call it bologna then, bologna, some light bread, some cheese, and I got a honey bun and a knee-high soda. Yeah, I like the grape knee-high too. And eventually we got a stove, and I got a mark to prove it. I had some bubble gum. This mark, I got a scar. You know, we didn't have a lot of money, and after I chew it for a while, I'd put it on my hand so I could chew it again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And one day I ran by the stove, and that gum stuck to the stove, and I got the scar to prove it. But I didn't know it at the time, but those were some great days, because they were times of hospitality. All the family, you know, everybody sat in the room. There was a fireplace, and every now and then they'd throw some potatoes in the ashes, and we'd sit on the floor with grandfather and my grandmother and the uncles and cousins and just talk and laugh. And, you know, I had an uncle. I think he was related to Deacon Nicholson. I'm not saying that Deacon Nicholson tells lies, but my uncle could lie. He would tell jokes. He would have us all over the floor. We would be just cracking up. Anybody had a family like that back then? Saturday night was the night to die for. We weren't going out to no party. Wasn't no parties out there. We had no car to get there anyhow. But we had a ball on the floor with the family. The oldest, the youngest, we were all right there. And if somebody happened to stop by, there was always room for them. They offered hospitality. How many of you know that hospitality is a good thing? And we live in a generation today. We live in a generation that we don't offer hospitality. We got these nice living rooms and nobody ever sit in. They are show places. We got all these knickknacks, these couches and air conditioners and televisions in every room, but nobody ever comes to dinner. And fact of the matter is, people who live in the same house don't go to dinner. And if they go to dinner, they go to dinner at a different time. and the kids go out and they got the TV on and they got these little whatever games they have and they're playing dinner, they're playing a game at dinner. Well, in my grandmother's house, you could not wear a hat at the table. You could not sing at the table. Maybe that's why I can't sing now. And everybody came to the table at the same time. There was not three or four different meals. You either ate what was cooked or you didn't eat at all. But there was one thing that was at the table: hospitality. You knew that you belonged. You knew that you were welcome. You knew that somebody cooked for you and sacrificed for you. That was hospitality at the table. There was affirmation at the table. And I thought about this because as I traveled around the world, you know, sometimes, you know, when you travel to these foreign lands, people ask me, well, how do you do it? How do you go to South Africa by yourself? Well, the fact of the matter is I really wasn't by myself. You know, I know I had God, but the other thing that I knew is somebody over there knew me. And when I got off the plane, they were standing there with a sign that said, Reverend Gregory Jackson. They took my bag, put it in a car, took me to a hotel. They spoke the language. They knew where they were going. I received hospitality, and I did not feel like a stranger. It's a terrible thing to live in this world and feel like a stranger. Every last one of us needs somebody to speak a word of affirmation and give us some hospitality and welcome us into a new space. Do I have a witness in the house? One of the first service, I talked about the fact that I went down to South Carolina yesterday to one of my aunts on my father's side, 75th birthday. And many of you know that I just met my father when I was about 45 or 46 or something years old. And he had several sisters. And they didn't know anything about me until his funeral, so they say. Because you can always tell what people know or don't know. And many of the sisters, he was the only living brother. And those sisters thought he was God. And here I show up at the funeral saying, that's my father. And those sisters, those good church-going sisters, they didn't say much to me, but I can imagine what they got it. And then you know what the other thing I found out? I look more like him than anybody. And then, no, that's it. That can't be my, no, that's not my brother's child. And they began to treat me as if I had something to do with it. But there was one sister who affirmed me. There was one sister that offered me hospitality. There was one sister that invited me into her home. There was one sister that cooked for me. There was one sister that affirmed me and hugged me and said, I don't care what they say. Boy, you are the spitting image of your dad. And it's a good thing when somebody offers you hospitality when you are hurting. And that's what the table of Jesus Christ is. It is a place whosoever will, let him come into the Father's house, because he offers hospitality. You know how some of us in here, we know somebody else's business. Old so-and-so coming in here. No, they ain't been changed. It ain't your business. Because this is not my table, it's his table. I ain't died for nobody. He died for everybody. This is a table of affirmation. This is a table where you can get your perspective back again. This is a table where you can get reaffirmed in your walk with Christ. So I went down to my aunt's. It was a tough day. Flew down there yesterday, 3 o'clock. Got on the plane this morning in Spartanburg, Greenville. At 6 a.m. to be back here for service. But it was worth it to me. Because she affirmed me. I had to make a sacrifice to go say thank you. And that's why we are here at this communion table. Because God died for us. And it's a way for us to say, when I was lost, you died for me and saved my soul. And I had to make my way here to the table so that I could get my life back in line with your will. Here in this text, Jesus, he'd just been crucified. Disciples had forsook him. He'd been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. Disciples are drifting. How many of you know one of the worst things in the world is just to drift? No direction. Jesus shows up and disciples are out fishing, catching nothing, drifting on the sea. Jesus shows up and says, put your net down on the other side. They caught a lot of fish. And then Jesus invited them to dinner. He says, come and dine. Come and fellowship. And you know, there's something about the dinner table. Or the breakfast table, when you actually talk to people. You remember those times? And so he comes to them at a difficult time. Peter denied him. The others forsook him. Peter, can you imagine how Peter was feeling? He'd been the big mouth and said, I'll never deny you. And Jesus comes to him and invites him to the table in his guilt. Invites him to the table in his denial. Jesus was on the cross, but don't you know that guilt can put you on the cross? Denial can put you on the cross. And my question to you this afternoon is, what's got you on the cross? And Jesus could have. I like this about Jesus in this particular text, because women, don't get mad at me when I say this now. Usually when a brother messes up, you want him to explain everything. Just tell me and it'll be all right. Be careful, brothers. Yes, you'll feel so much better if you just get it out. Just go ahead in Jesus' name. Get it out. If I was you, I'd pray over that. But when Jesus came to the disciples and saw them drifting, and Peter's out there drifting and other disciples, Jesus did not ask for an explanation. He just said, come to dinner. And when he came to dinner, there was no conversation about how Peter had denied him, how Peter had, you know, Judas had betrayed him. It was just fellowship. How many know sometimes you can't tell it all right away? Sometimes you got to work your way in. It might take you 40 years to get all that stuff out. Do I have a witness in here? Brothers, you better say amen. When Jesus came to the table and he invited them to the table without them having to have a full confession. Because there was something about just being next to Jesus that strengthened them, that encouraged them, that affirmed them. Jesus offered a hospitality that help to transform their lives and strengthen them. And I'm so glad that you don't have to be perfect to come to his table today. And you don't have to tell Rev everything. You don't have to tell Deke everything. You don't have to tell nobody everything. You can tell it to Jesus. And he works it out and strengthens you. Do I have a witness in the house today? Now, I don't know, sisters. I don't know how y'all do it. I got a feeling y'all don't tell everything either. I know you don't tell it to us. But the point of it is, if you drift towards the table rather than drifting away from the table. Because if you can pray your way to the table, you can get some affirmation. And you don't have to tell everything before Jesus will speak to you. You know how sometimes I ain't saying nothing to you. I think you need therapy. Anybody ever heard that before? Not I think we need therapy. I think you need therapy. Am I the only one? Notice Barbara ain't here today. But the point of the matter is, around this table, there is affirmation and transformation. Around this table, there is hospitality. You are welcome around the table, and you don't have to be perfect around the table. And you can come to the table just as you are without one plea, and you can stay right there until the Holy Spirit empowers you and changes you and sends you out with a mission. I'm doing a little reading about this one. Said one of the things that messes up our lives is boredom. I've been learning this about the church too, you know. Sometimes, you know, one reason sometimes kids can't stand church is just boring. Sometimes, you know, and what excites kids doesn't necessarily excite us. Terrible thing when you're bored all the time. How many of you know that no preacher, no choir, no pastor, no deacon, nobody hits a home run every time? How many know 300, a batting average, 300 is pretty good? I think. All right? And so, but if we don't have a vision for life, we will be bored forever. So after Jesus stops and invites them to breakfast, he also gives them something to do. In other words, he says, you're feeling good right now, and Lord knows I felt real good after John and the choir sang that song, but by the time you get out of here, it'll be gone. You need something to do. And here's what Jesus told the disciples. Go feed my lambs. Go feed my sheep. But Jesus, we just had a good praise. That was a praise inside. Go feed my sheep. Open up your eyes. See where people are hurting. But Jesus, they won't like me. Go follow me.
And anytime you start following Jesus, you're going to make somebody mad.
Anytime you start following Jesus, somebody's going to start talking about you. Anytime you start following Jesus, anytime you start affirming somebody with Christ-like hospitality, those old sisters are going to go to work. Sometimes they don't say nothing, they just look at you with them eyes. I had something to do with getting pregnant, to bringing me into the world. But I'm happy to say, because of Aunt Betty's affirmation, they now accept me. Because of Aunt Betty. Because she had the nerve to stand up. Because she had the nerve to say what she saw. He didn't need no DNA. What the world that I don't need no DNA to tell you Michael is my son. You gotta open your eyes. And she had the nerve to offer me hospitality and the church of Jesus Christ. Those doors are open to whosoever will. And we have to offer hospitality in Jesus Christ's name. It could be a homeless person. You offer hospitality. You could be somebody who is getting divorced. You offer hospitality. You could be somebody that you don't like. You offer hospitality because it is his house and his table. And if you stay around this table long enough, you will feel like one of the family. I went down there and they started talking about, this is Reverend Jackson. I said, no, this is Greg. I ain't working today, I'm family. And I offered the prayer. I gave the first greeting. I'm the one who known everybody the least, and I get the opportunity to talk first. When we come into the Church of Jesus Christ, move over for a visitor sometimes. Smile at a visitor sometimes, so they don't smell good. Suck it up anyhow. Make them feel welcome anyhow. Maybe their nails don't look right. So what? Offer them hospitality. Because they may not have got a hug at home. They may be so lonely. They may be struggling to almost commit suicide. You don't know what's going on in their hearts and in their minds. And God wants you and God wants me to offer divine hospitality because he invites old sinful me and old sinful you. And he doesn't hold us against us. And he invites us to the table. And he gives us a special seat. You can't party until the sinner you get here. Or the sinner me gets here. Because when the sinner Jackson gets here, I can really praise him. When sophisticated Jackson gets here, I ain't say nothing. But when I think about what could have been, when I think about growing up in rural South Carolina, not knowing my father, what could have been? When I think about growing up in the projects of Bayonne, New Jersey, what could have been. But thanks be to God, in Friendship Baptist Church, there was somebody that offered me hospitality. That in Bayonne High School, there was somebody that offered me hospitality. That there was some man, some woman in Bethune School in South Carolina that offered me hospitality. That I never thought about myself as not knowing my dad. I thought I was somebody when I was 12. I thought I was somebody because I was in church and some reverend would come and lay. And then Mrs. Bell, my Sunday school teacher, I can remember her right now. She was an old lady, wasn't very well educated, but she used to tell me when I was about 6 years old, boy, you're going to be a preacher one day. I couldn't even spell preacher. But she offered me hospitality. Who have you opened your heart to? Who have you opened your arms to? Who have you opened your mind to? Who have you offered hospitality to? Don't you know what difference hospitality makes? Doesn't it feel good when you go to somebody's house, if you ever invited there today, and they ask you, well, what are you like? Do you want red or white wine? Because I know y'all thought I was going to say Kool-Aid or lemonade. Y'all know better than that. What do you want? What do you want? You want gin or you want whatever? What do you want? And you don't feel, how many of you know, it's good when you don't feel judged. You say, well, since you offered, do you have any? and they don't judge you. And when you come to this table, what I'm trying to tell you is God doesn't judge you. His mercy rules at this table. His compassion rules at this table. This is a welcome table. Come just as you are and have a little talk with Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit comes down, it'll change your direction. It'll change your behavior. Do I have a witness in here? When Jesus comes into your heart, you'll live different. You'll walk different. You'll talk different. You'll be different because you have received hospitality. And if you receive hospitality, go and give hospitality. I need it and you need it. If you receive it, take it. Here's our trouble. As soon as we get a little religion, we start acting like we are all of that in a bag of chips. You ain't all that. And I'm not all that. Except for the grace of God. Divine hospitality. In case there's anybody here this morning, you're feeling a little shut out, cut off, lonely. You felt like I felt at my father's funeral when I had to sit behind the family. That had a roped off area with the family. And I sat on the first row behind the family. I felt a little cut off. But God, in God's infinite wisdom, He always got an Aunt Betty. He always has somebody that sees with another eye and speaks with a little more compassion. And I want you to know, in this church, Jesus is the one who says, whosoever will, let him or her come. In this church, it's not Jackson. It's not Robinson. It's not Lawton. It's Jesus' church. It's not Mildred Board. It's Jesus' table. And my job, and all of our job, all we are here, we're just table waiters. Only thing we're supposed to do is set the table and then get out of the way. And I got my napkin. And my job is to say, it's ready for you. What would you have today? A little more grace? What do you need today? Oh, Reverend, I need a little more forgiveness. Well, what do you need, Reverend? I'm so lonely. I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go. I'm lonely. I need a friend. I didn't say I need a lover. I said I need a friend. Well, I'm glad you said that. Here's a friend to the friendless. Oh, what do you need today? Well, it's Mother's Day is coming up, Reb. Mother's Day is coming up, and I lost my mother 10 years ago. I just want you to know he's a mother to the motherless. He is your all in your all. He is what you do. I have a witness in here. What you need is on the table. Drift towards the table. Because there's hospitality. Oh, Rev, I'm not good enough. You're welcome. Oh, Rev, I'm a sinner. You're welcome. Rev, I fail so many times. You're welcome. But, Rev, if you just knew, I don't know. But he does. And he says, come, all ye that are heavy laden. And I, not you, Jackson, Jesus, it's Jesus talking. He says, and I.